The Chicago Cubs are going to the World Series. When we started this podcast 8 seasons ago, I think we anticipated the day that we would be able to say those words. And man, does it feel good. Do you guys want to get in on it? You guys want to say it? Just, you got to get it out there. Just say it. Feel it.
It feels so good.
Oh,
yeah, the 2016 National League champions. Man, World Series. Unbelievable.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sure everybody listening is like, boy, they seem pretty subdued. And, you know, as it's day after, all of us are feeling it a little bit, but still incredibly excited. And I actually did wake up this morning and have that panicked feeling like I had dreamt it.
Right? Yeah. It feels pretty surreal even right now. It was hard to even envision being able to say National League champs such a long time. And I think it's really going to hit us as soon as game one starts that, holy crap, I mean, here they are.
Well, and we're not done, and they're not done. You know what I mean? Like, in a way, like, just this getting to the World Series has been such a relief. And I think we have, like, a day, maybe a day and a half to kind of, like, just bask in the glory of it and just take it all in. And then I think it's just going to, like, be a smack in the face of, like, whoa, this is not, like, there is serious work to be done yet, and we're going to experience all of those emotions that we've felt for the last 2 weeks. Those are not gone.
Well, I was thinking about this matchup coming up and how both fan bases are so hungry that these are going to be some really emotionally charged games. It's going to be intense. As of course the Indians haven't won the World Series since 1948. So,
those poor Cleveland fans.
Right. Yeah. but they've endured a long period of futility as well. And I just think that that's going to add an extra level of intensity and emotional weight to these games.
Yeah. So I asked for listeners to call our voicemail line and, you know, celebrate the fact that the Cubs are going to the World Series and, you know, share what their experience was at that clinching moment. And I will play those at the end of the episode. And I'll warn you right now, my phone has just been lighting up all morning with those messages. So there's probably going to be quite a few, but that's just fine with me. I can't wait to listen to them. And so on this episode, we'll talk about, I guess, the NLCS in general. We'll share our experiences of Game 6 and the clinching moment. And we will also look ahead to Game 1 of the World Series. And I suppose we should introduce ourselves. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
Hey, and Kurt.
Man, I sound rough. I apologize. And it's only going to get worse as this goes on, because here in this 10 minutes I've talked more than I have since last night, so I don't know how I lost my voice in a grocery store, but I did it.
You mean a grocery store bar.
Yeah, so we'll get into all that, but before we do, you know, I've heard from a lot of people that they're traveling into Chicago for the World Series. I know Michael from Galesburg, he texted me this morning, he's going to Cleveland, and he's doing everything he can to get in that ballpark. Selling all of his jerseys and memorabilia and everything because he wants to be in there. So, you know, for those of you that are coming to Chicago for these games or going to Cleveland, you don't have your tickets yet, I would say the first place you need to go for Cubs World Series tickets, I can't believe I just said that, is SeatGeek. So, you know that buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or that show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. So, Kurt, right before we went live, you actually pulled up SeatGeek to see how Game 3 tickets were looking.
Yeah, right now, and this is before the lottery and those things going on sale, standing room's at $21.70, and bleachers is around $3,300 for the cheapest.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine those will come down, but yeah, they're not going to be cheap.
No, they're not. And I think they will come down, and honestly, a fair amount, but it's still going to, like, the tickets for last night's game, I think the cheapest I saw were in the mid-600s. And you're going to pay, but you know what? This is the first time we've had most of us have had the opportunity to see this. So I think it's money well spent. And if you have to sell memorabilia like Michael's doing, go for it.
And kidney.
Yeah, whatever it takes. So, you can have the app on your phone, the SeatGeek app, and there's, green and yellow and red markers to show you which are the best deals. And everything that they do is designed to make life easier for sports fans. They do all the price comparison by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible. And, man, my voice. Sorry, guys. They do all the work to save you time and money, and they want to help you get the most bang for your buck. And that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. And you'll be able to see underpriced seats, not that there will be too many of them. And you'll be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, when you're buying those $3,500 tickets, we can save you $20. So you can get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. And here's how you do it. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVIVY in all capital letters. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. I don't know about you guys, but I don't really know where to start this discussion. And I do want to say that, I think if you have found us in the postseason, if you've discovered our podcast in the postseason, know that these episodes are a little different than our regular episodes. I know that the playoff postgame episodes have been probably seem scattered, I guess. And our shows are typically at least a little bit more put together, not a lot, but a little more put together. And these are kind of like just, in a way, just like reaction episodes. And so if you're thinking, man, these guys have no structure and this is kind of a mess. Yeah, that's true. And but they're typically not so much like that. So, again, if you found us recently, we podcast on the Cubs year round. It's our eighth season. And we do one episode a week in the off season and two episodes a week during the season, starting with spring training. And we're trying to do as many here in the postseason as we can. So I have experienced like a range of emotions that I did not know existed. And I have found myself not being able to control those emotions. Just simply walked across the living room and sobbing. At one point I had to go out on the deck and just wave the W flag to get some energy out. I've just done a lot of weird things. And the nice thing was, for the most part today, I've had the house to myself so I can do those things and not feel weird. Are you guys kind of experiencing these same things?
Probably not as much. I've definitely had that range of emotion. I haven't broken down and cried. I had a little bit of a moment last night, but not today. Today I'm just, I don't know, I'm doing a lot of shaking of my head and just sort of like, whoa, I can't believe this is where we are.
Right.
A lot of disbelief and really, like I think what Andy was saying earlier, I don't know that it's completely hit me all the way yet. So I expect more to come. Like you don't know what to say. I mean,
right.
You're just kind of speechless. I'm trying to find something profound to say and nothing's coming to me.
I think it's really hard to like articulate these types of emotions that we've never felt before as Cubs fans. But Andy, you're probably the most articulate one of the three of us. So.
But yeah, like you guys said, I mean, going from tears to elation within a very short span of time kind of congeals together into a weird emotion that has no name, so that's bizarre. But I can't help but feel like to witness this finally is pretty well deserved. Because growing up a Cubs fan wasn't easy. I remember people reminding me all the time how terrible the Cubs are and were. And then you had, like those friends who shared in your misery. And we had, kids of the 80s had the, like Ryan Sandberg, Dawson Grace, et cetera, the Wrigley Field, just to kind of sustain us through all, those years. Just like the older generation had Banks and Santo and Williams, et cetera. And so that kind of kept us going. And then finally, finally they're going to the series. And so it's so, meaningful and gratifying.
Yeah. And I think the other really cool thing about last night is that we didn't really have to suffer during the game. Like you kind of expected it to maybe be a 1-2 run game and it would have made a tough win, but they played so perfectly that you got the sense pretty early that, oh my gosh, this is happening.
Right.
You know, and it sort of built over the game for me, and it just kept getting more and more intense the closer it got. But thankfully it wasn't scary.
Right. Yeah.
At any moment.
Yeah. I just, you know, Andy, I really appreciate what you said. I think you articulated things very well there. And I think like, you know, I think it's one of those things where a lot of us, all of us, are experiencing the same things and that we can't verbalize. I mean, I think there's just such like a weight off. And this thing is not done yet. Again, I think a lot of like, I fully expect to hear from Cardinals fans like, you guys are acting like you won it all and you're not there. And it's like, you know what? Like getting to this point is such a relief. And you're right. We haven't won anything yet, but well, getting
sort
here,
of.
Well, yeah.
But, I don't know. I tend to disagree with the people that say stuff like that. But
no,
anyways, but
you know what I mean.
I don't want to derail your
right
thought, yeah.
But I mean, like, I just think, you know, and I got a lot of emails this morning, and I haven't listened to any of the voicemails yet. I think there's going to be like kind of a theme in that, and I think it's just that pressure of that weight of generations past, and I mean, for me, obviously, my grandparents are a reason I'm a Cubs fan, and that's been definitely on my mind the last, you know, 24 hours. And, you know, I kind of felt like I was in a good spot and I had control over my emotions. And then, so my daughters were not with us last night at the game watch. They stayed at a friend's house last night. And so I heard them come in, you know, like a half hour ago. And I went upstairs to be like, girls, we're going to the World Series. And I walked up and my 9-year-old, my oldest, is just sobbing. And I was like, what? You know, I'm like, oh, great. So she didn't get enough sleep. And, you know, there's been drama already or whatever. And I was like, what's wrong? And she was like, Grandma Joe's not here for this. So, sorry, guys.
Yeah. No, don't, no apologies needed. Yeah, I mean, I think what Corey is saying, you know, there's just a lot of folks out there experiencing similar thoughts, similar emotions. And I don't know. It hurts sometimes and it feels like the best thing you've ever felt in your life all at the same time. And yeah. And now it happened. And so, you know, can't take it away. So it's unbelievable. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say, but yeah, I think it's,
I appreciate you rambling until I could try to collect myself.
Give Corey a moment, but
oh man,
but yeah, and having met her, you know, and just what an amazing woman she was. I feel a little that too. So
I don't really have an older relative who passed on his or her, you know, love of the game like most Cubs fans do. So I can imagine the catharsis related to having that connection, seeing last night. Last night, you know, speaking of that, my friend Art, who was there watching with us, shared with me that his grandpa who was born in 1918. He's 98 years old, huge Cubs fan. And the Cubs made 6 World Series appearances while he was growing up. If you count 1918 when he was born, the 6th being 1945. And so I kind of almost wanted to make a joke that, hey, it's kind of easy being a Cubs fan for him. Back in the 30s, they went to the World Series 3 times there. But now it's been 71 years since the last World Series appearance, and he's gone through all of that. And it's crazy to think that the only Cubs fans who have experienced what we experienced last night, you know, prior to last night, are older than 71 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. That is bonkers. And I mean, I don't want to, I got myself under control now, guys, but I think what I was trying, like in that story, like what really hit me was just that, like, my daughter who's 9, like, understands the importance of this thing. You know what I mean? Like, she was excited, but I think that, like, and it kind of blew me away because I don't think I've really ever, like, verbalize that to her. I don't think that's anything we've really talked about. Like, and maybe it's come up from time to time, but I don't know. It just really blew me away that like a 9-year-old understands the significance of what happened last night. So, whew, man.
Yeah.
But hey,
but I think for us as podcasters, I just want to say, I mean, this is especially meaningful to the three of us because we made a commitment to do this podcast back in 2008 with our friends, with you guys. And during, you know, like 2010 to 2014, we watched some of the worst Cubs baseball we've seen in our life, you know, in our lives, in some historically bad teams. And we've watched, you know, we three and a lot of the people in the chat and people who have been listening watched an obscenely high number of those games. Right. You know, like the 2012 team had a 377 winning percentage. So, you know, we've been there, you know, from the ground up, and that makes it feel especially gratifying. I mean, we've been keeping track of Javier Baez forever,
right.
You know, Chris Bryant, Albert Almora, Kyle Schwarber, et cetera, longer than a lot of people. And, you know, we went to see him play Javier Baez in Peoria. We went to see him play in 2012, and we saw right away, we could tell that he, you know, he wasn't going to be there long. And now to see him become the NLCS MVP is, you know, especially gratifying for those of us who have been watching him from the beginning. And, you know, and Theo was hired in what, 2011, the end of 2011. And, watching that abysmal 2012 team, I think for some shook their faith in Theo. And I feel like we've had faith and vision in it the whole time. And so it feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's sort of like something that we've talked about this before, how, you know, you have no control over what happens on the field and you just sort of sit idly and hope and, but then to be so invested for so long, and then like it feels like you did have a part of it, even though we didn't. We just sat here and talked. But
that's also the same level of commitment that I think fans feel. You know, like, yeah. I feel like, you know, when I saw, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Kurt, but I kind of wanted to, like, I agree with you that like this means a lot to us. But I think that fans feel that same thing where it's like, you know what, I've invested so much into this team over the course of my life, you know, and it's kind of funny because last night I was thinking, or this morning actually, I watched the end of the game again and I saw the player celebrating and I thought, you know what, somebody's going to say that this means more to us than it does to them. And then I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, you know what, it kind of does. like they are much more invested, you know, as far as putting their bodies on the line and everything. But like, I'm not sure there was a player there that felt just that relief and that had that much, they're much more deserving of the praise and everything. But like, I think this just meant so much to Cubs fans. And like I said, we're not done yet. Like, this felt amazing just to get to the World Series. And when they win it, like, it is going to be, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the emotions I'm feeling is just kind of like my body preparing me for what's coming next.
Yeah, you certainly didn't expect last night's emotions, and so I was no way I could predict what it's going to be like when that happens. So yeah,
I really did not think I envisioned a lot more like just joy and celebration. And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And I think, of course, I wouldn't know what to expect. Of course, I wouldn't know what I'm going to feel because I have no clue. I've never been here before. Mm-hmm. It's like walking into like Alice in Wonderland or whatever. You know, I don't know what I don't know what's around the corner. I don't know. Yeah. Guys, I've never watched Alice in Wonderland, so I don't know what to say. I just tried to think of some fantasy land.
Just went down the rabbit hole and you ran right into her.
Right. So, yeah. Look at this, guys. This is more for the visuals, but I've got
a
bottle of champagne. I've got written on it. Is it upside down? NLCS, 2016 NLCS. I got my champagne right here. And so, Kurt, we'll talk about what we experienced last night, but why don't you talk about what your situation was?
Okay. So, yeah, I didn't make the meetup, which is partly sad, but the reasoning being, you know, my kids are real young. I got a 2- and a 4-year-old. So the goal, and plus it's my father-in-law's birthday today. And so we celebrated with him, had a nice dinner, and we all watched the game together. And so it was our chance to, you know, three generations of Cubs fans get together of, you know, my boys being so young, this is all they know is the Cubs being good. And then him, he's 61 and he's seen it all. And then there's me, you know, fairly new. So yeah, for all of us to watch it together, it was pretty special. You know, and we're able to sort of accommodate the little ones' temper tantrums when it got too late and things like that. So, while I'm super sad that I wasn't able to be there with you guys, it was pretty amazing what we were able to do here. So yeah, I had a great time. I just watched at home, you know, nothing too crazy. You know me, I don't like to be in public anymore than I have to. So, but yeah, we had an amazing time, and you know, when it was over, I just sort of like jumped around, and I honestly don't remember a lot of what I did. It was just such a blur, like running around the house and jumping and waving the flag. And yeah, it was wild. So
how did I end up dressed as Ken Bone? Yeah. but I mean, there's a lot of that too with us at the gathering. Corey, I there was a ton of tension in the room toward the end of the 8th inning and the 9th inning. And people were kind of, everybody was standing up, gathered around. And there's a lot of tension. People are kind of trying to diffuse it with some jokes here or there. We were just kind of, it was nervous excitement, I guess.
Yeah. And so what? I think we maybe had like 40 people there. Does that seem about right? Somewhere in there, I would imagine.
Yeah, around that.
And it was great. I mean, just a lot of local people. Bill from Aurora, who's in the chat right now, he actually drove down and got a hotel room and watched it with us. That was awesome to have Bill there. I was glad to be able to give Bill a hug after after the win. But, you know, just a lot of people that are friends and family and listeners that live in the area and stuff. And so it was just great to be able to celebrate with a lot of the same people that, you know what, when we were doing those, like, live broadcasts in 2009 and 2010, those are the people that were there. And it was just, it was great to watch it with them. And, you know, afterwards we went to a bar, we left Hy-Vee, and went to a bar, with some people that were there. And basically we just sat around the table saying things like, I just can't believe it. We're going to the World Series. This is unbelievable. I mean, that's like basically what our conversation was. And, it was great. And I'm so glad that, you know, we were able to do that game watch. And I had a blast, you know, and it was like the perfect situation for us. We had the entire place to ourselves. We could be as loud as we wanted. We could move stuff around. It was ideal. It was great. I mean, I think if we would have tried to go to any other bar, it would have been crowded and there would have been, you know, just idiots around and stuff. So it was just really nice to have a place all to ourselves.
A lot of places probably still didn't have the game audio turned on.
Right.
You listen to Smash Mouth over the top of it or something like that. Yeah. I mean, having that, the venue actually ended up being great. And I was a little nervous about it. I didn't even remember that they had so many TVs in there, but it ended up being fantastic. They did a great job for our group. And, like I tweeted last night, I've never been so excited in a grocery store in my life. Never had such a good time in a grocery store in my life.
Oh, that's, man. Awesome. Yep. And so, yeah, there's a Facebook Live video that Tawny did to our Patreon group of the last like 20 minutes, or basically from the top of the 9th inning on. Unfortunately, like, she didn't save it to her phone, and I can't like share it to our regular Facebook page. So I guess basically that's like Patreon only. So if you're a Patreon contributor, go into our Facebook page and you can watch a video. It's really good. I mean, you're going to see grown men crying. You're going to see lots of high fives, lots of hugs. You're going to see champagne bottles popped. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. And I don't know, did you have a chance to see that video, Kurt?
I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm going to right after this.
Yeah, it was good. And it was great. We haven't even talked about the game, but in a way, I don't feel like that's what we're here to do today. Like, that's not where where like I can't break down that game. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe we could do some top level like shout out, kind of like the obvious stuff. I don't know, like.
Well, first Hendrix. Of all, let me say this yeah, to interrupt you and say that you nailed it earlier that this game, what made this get together and just watching this with friends and family so exciting and fun was the fact that they were able to pounce early
right.
on Kershaw.
Yep. It took, I mean, I was a little bit nervous. Who, me?
Kurt
was all yeah, I was going to go into like, you know, the sort of nervousness about facing Kershaw again went out the window pretty quickly, and you knew they were gonna roll. And then
during the day I wasn't that nervous. I mean, it was really nice to know that there was a game seven, so that was that like insurance, or you know, that little insurance plan there at the end. You know, little backup plan, I guess. That made me comfortable. And then the more I was thinking about it, I'm just like, you know what, Kershaw is really freaking good. There's no doubt about that. But he has pitched a ton of innings, and I was just thinking, you know what? If he's not locating that curveball, we have mm-hmm. We could really jump on him. And the way that they did that in the first couple innings, it was just like it really took a lot of pressure off. And then once you saw how, like, I would say, you know, after two in watching Hendricks, I was just like, nope, they're not. This is not happening. I mean, the only thing is if Hendricks keeps pitching anything close to what he is right now, and the offense can continue to kind of like jump on mistakes, which is what they did with Contreras and Rizzo, you know, that's we've got this thing. And honestly, Andy, I mean, it didn't feel like that nervous of a playoff game with our group, did it? I mean, did you sense that?
No, I mean,
until the ninth.
Like I said, I just kind of felt this nervousness toward the end.
Right, yeah.
You know, just when of course the stupid national broadcast is going to bring up, you know, the five outs thing. And, you know, so that was in our mind a little bit just because of the broadcast, you know, more than anything else. But then just the prospect of them getting it done just led to a buzz in the room.
Yeah, and I think partly why I wanted to talk about the game at least a little is that, you know, like we're experiencing all these emotions and crazy thoughts, but we also watched one of the best pitched playoff games
right
ever. I mean, outside of the first pitch hit and the last pitch hit, it was a perfect game.
Right.
Sandwiched by two hits, you know, and the Cubs faced the minimum, and he was locating so well and pitching so well. There was a point where I had to stop myself from all the crazy thoughts in my head and be like, wow, this is some amazing baseball. And I almost had to like bring myself back to really watching baseball. And I was, of course, watching and paying attention, but it was just so many thoughts in my head. And witnessing his performance, just, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That in that pressure situation against Kershaw, it just didn't faze him at all. And his location was probably some of the best I've ever seen. He's just putting it exactly where he needed to every time. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and I felt like, I mean, while I was a little bit nervous in the ninth inning, just because it was the ninth inning, I mean, you know, they were still up by five runs. So I didn't think that the Dodgers were going to be able to generate five runs off of Chapman. And in the eighth inning, I guess I was a little bit nervous then too. But, you know, I think one thing that kind of made me comfortable and not that nervous was the fact that this team looked loose throughout the game. And you look at like Rizzo and Baez with their new pop-up thing going on over there. Just like, you know what? They are not feeling pressure at all.
They're the new Elvis Andrus and Adrian Beltre.
Right. Seriously.
Oh, man. It was really funny, and it was great to see them being so loose, but I was like, just, I don't know, don't do that right now.
Yeah, the one that Javi stole, that one made me a little nervous.
I loved it how, like, I don't remember when it was, towards the end, and Rizzo was, like, emphatically calling off, like, pointing and calling off.
His glove was strictly waving in Baez's direction. Like he didn't have the other hand at all. I mean, he doesn't need to considering his position, but I mean, his glove was honed in on wherever locked in on wherever Javi was.
So good. And I mean, while we're on the topic of Javi, MVP, that is, yeah. I mean, and I think Lester was just as deserving, but it's just great to see a young player like Javi, and one that's, you know, had some criticism and has worked tremendously, has really changed the type of batter he is, to be able to come, to be able to become as effective as he is. And, you know, I think second base is his for as long as he's in a Cubs uniform.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, he was so amazing to watch. And he even didn't have a great night last night, but he had an error and didn't hit the ball. But still, just, yeah, just he was just amazing. And it's cool to see everybody nationally now recognize Baez for being as amazing. It's like the secret's definitely out now. And
right, right.
It's not our little, he's not our little pet anymore. He's everybody's.
One other, I mean, I don't really have much else to say about this game. The one thing though, is that like during the game yesterday, I was thinking that like, I really wanted the Cubs. Number one, I didn't want it to go to a seventh game because I think that the tone and the vibe in Wrigley would have been different. You know, in a game seven, I really wanted them to win it in game six. One of the reasons was that I really liked the fact that that would kind of set up the Cubs going forward in the World Series with Lester and then Arrieta on the road, and then Hendricks would be able to pitch back at Wrigley again. So by moving Hendricks back one spot, and he didn't throw a lot of pitches. I don't have it in front of me, but I don't think he went over 90, did he?
I've got the box score, I can tell you. 88.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was super efficient. He should be good to go. And I just, I liked sliding Arrieta into the number two spot on the road. And Lester, I mean, man, look at that. Lester, Arrieta, Hendricks. Have fun with that. Mm-hmm. And you know, this Cleveland team, they're good. But I don't think their offense is spectacular. And so, and we're going to get into the Indians. But, yeah, I guess one thing we haven't. Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it's great to see the Cubs get to a lefty light of Kershaw's caliber. As well, first of all, the pitching staff for the Indians doesn't have a lot of lefties, but they're going to face one really tough lefty in Andrew Miller.
Right.
So, and he has great stuff, you know, akin to Kershaw, and
they're going
to
face him multiple times. Sure. Almost every time, probably. Yeah. So one thing we haven't talked about, and I think we need to, is Kyle Schwarber, fellas.
Huh. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, you texted me that, and I was like, "Oh, this is a joke."
It's and so anybody listening, they know what's going on. They know the story, I guess. But basically, Schwarber had a checkup or whatever, and the doctor cleared him to play, and so Schwarber called Theo immediately, wanting to play. They sent him to the Arizona Fall League, and so he played Saturday night, and he's playing today on Sunday. Here's my feeling on it. I think if he feels okay today and tomorrow or whatever, he will be on the playoff roster. I really do think he will be, and I think that could hurt the roster a little bit, just because defensively, I don't know if you feel comfortable putting him anywhere on the field. I don't think you do. The nice thing is they can have a DH when they play in Cleveland. But I think Kyle Schwarber has been in that dugout the entire season, and he was not there the night that they went to the World Series. And I think that the only way he is not there is if he is very likely going to be on the World Series roster, because it's Arizona Fall League, and he could have waited a day or two. He could have waited a week or two. I mean, this is clearly like a fast track back to the team. And how incredible will that be? How nuts will Wrigley Field go if he comes in to pinch hit game three and Kyle Schwarber? And oh man, I mean, do you guys disagree that?
Well, he'll probably only play when they're playing in Cleveland, if he's only going to DH.
Well, but I mean, he could
I mean, pinch hit appearance.
Right, yeah. I don't think he's going to start, but I think he could pinch hit at Wrigley. I mean, are you guys? Do you guys think it appears like he's going to be on the roster?
I mean, what you said makes sense. I mean, there's no other reason you send him to Arizona
now
to be there last night and not be in Chicago. So, yeah, it's the only thing that makes sense. It makes me only slightly nervous, and that a guy who hasn't been hitting all year, can he come in and?
Well, he's been hitting, you know, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
but not I hear what you're saying. Game pitching. And I have no reason to believe that Schwarber wouldn't be amazing, but that's the only thing that gives me slight hesitation. But certainly it's a huge DH option to have that bat.
Yeah, I just, that would be pretty amazing. And to be honest, like when he was injured and you know, had the surgery and everything, I honestly thought that it was likely or possible that he wouldn't even be ready to start the season next year, that he could start off on the DL, stay in Arizona for, you know, maybe two or three more weeks, something like that. Like that's where I was like kind of like mentally preparing myself for. And it's amazing that that injury was in April, and here we are in October, and that dude is potentially coming back. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Let me say too, is yeah, that is incredible. I mean, just the speedy recovery is incredible. But the, like I said before, the Indians are going to march a lot of right-handed pitching out there too.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks pretty attractive as a matchup, you know, when it comes to the DH over, say, a Jorge Soler, perhaps.
Well, and too, think about this, that, I mean, so I think that like a small sample size would kind of overrule the point that I'm about to make, but there's not a lot of tape on Schwarber. I mean, it's from 2015, and I'm guessing he has changed as a batter in the last 6 months. I'm guessing, I mean, I bet that guy has watched so much tape, has evaluated his own swing, has probably worked on his own swing a lot. And I think that you can pretty much throw out any of the tape on Schwarber. And so he is an unknown to the Cleveland Indians pitching staff. And I think that could really, you know, like I said, small sample size is kind of like, well, there's one at bat. So there, you know, there goes that. But I don't know. I'm trying to find like some benefits of bringing him back besides the fact that he can hit the ball like 400 miles. But, well, do we want to get into, I guess we've already kind of dipped our toes into the World Series talk. Let's talk about the Indians. Obviously we're not that familiar with the team. Kurt, you're going to talk about Corey Kluber, but first I kind of want to talk about the Indians in general. Just in looking at some stats today, one thing that stood out to me is the Indians like to steal. They like to move on the base paths, and I think that that's definitely something to watch for in game one, especially if Lester is starting game one. Andy, you're going to kind of like break this down a little bit more because we've got a really awesome email. But I guess overall, one thing I want to say is there are no mismatches in the World Series. You don't get easy opponents in October. We've already seen that. The Indians are good. They're a formidable opponent, and they have home field advantage, which, you know, is stupid because the Cubs won 9 more games than they did. But to be honest, I don't think that the home field advantage matters much here. If you don't get home field advantage, you get 3 games in a row, games 3 through 5. And I think that those games can really set the tone of the series. And look at how the tone of the series changed back and forth in games 3, 4, and 5 in the NLCS this year, you know, with the Cubs going to LA. And so I think it's a good team, but I don't know. They have a starting outfielder named Lonnie Chisenhall, so come on.
Yeah, and then, you know, and touching on the home field advantage, I mean, you give this lineup an extra bat, and I think suddenly the home field advantage is pretty neutralized.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm almost excited about a DH.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Still, I mean, the Cleveland Indians offense is pretty rugged. I mean, they can really stack the lineup with lefties or righties according to the starting pitcher matchup, due to that they have several good switch hitters. And so they'll alternate. Well, maybe I should read the email we got.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So Jeremy, who is a Cubs fan living in Cleveland of all places, wrote us this email, and I'm just going to read it if that's cool with you guys.
Yeah, go for it. I thought it was really good.
Okay. So, he says, first, let me say this is an amazing feeling. These next 2 weeks are going to be fun, but living in Cleveland and being engaged to an Indians fan, these next 2 weeks will be very trying. We will see if we are still engaged at the end of the series. I wanted to comment on that is, you know, I mean, this will be a good measuring stick for how you can get through trying times.
Right.
And then take comfort in the fact too, that the Cubs aren't going to be playing the Indians that much. So it should be pretty easy in the, I mean,
is that you predicting a sweep, Andy? Are you saying four game Cubs sweep? They're not going to play that much. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying, is that it's going to be a 4-game Cubs sweep. It'll be a hard time, you know, for a few weeks afterwards, but then, you know, they won't play very much after that. So I think it'll be good for your relationship. That's all I'm trying to say.
Right.
He said, here's my quick marginal analysis of the Indians, having watched them all season. Against lefty starters, Terry Francona will bat Rajay Davis leadoff. He is an older player, but still very quick on the base paths. And I wanted to say to that point too, is Rajay Davis has actually seen John Lester a ton. He has 51 plate appearances against Lester, and he's batting .304. So That's something to look for. And he's also seen Jake Arrieta 11 times and is hitting and has 3 hits in that number of plate appearances. So just a little something to look out for with the matchup there. But he also goes on to say, and I'm talking about Jeremy now, goes on to say, when playing in Cleveland, they will be able to have their two big bats in the lineup, Carlos Santana and Mike Napoli. Against righty starters, Santana leads off and Napoli bats cleanup. Against lefties, Napoli bats 4 and Santana bats 5. And Santana is a switch hitter as well, so and so he, you know, he can slot him in there in different ways, like Jeremy's saying. Francisco Lindor is a shortstop and is very, very similar to Javi in the way he plays. Always a smile and is very good at his position. Lots of range. And I think, you know, we've seen Lindor play in the minors too, haven't we, Corey?
Yeah, I think we maybe saw him in that All-Star game that we went to.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a very dynamic player. So to continue with the email here, Jeremy goes on to say, the pitching is the only question mark for the ALDS and the ALCS. They pitch their 1, 4, and 5 starters, and their number 5 sliced up in his pinky on a drone blade. So you guys remember I'm sure mostly everybody knows about the Trevor Bauer situation where he tried to pitch with stitches and they burst open and they had to go to the bullpen early.
And he's got 10 stitches.
Yeah. And so it says they are still a very good pitching staff with another starter set to possibly come back from forearm tightness. That would be Danny Salazar.
Yeah.
On the injury report, it says mild strain in right flexor musculature. But yeah, he could possibly be back. And this team, you know, the Indians have really managed to win in spite of having a lot of what appeared to be pretty significant injuries, with Carlos Carrasco, Michael Brantley being out. So they're still managing to win in spite of that. But so he could be back.
Right. Before you move off of Danny Salazar, he hasn't pitched since September 9th, and he throws a lot of strikeouts, but he walks a lot of guys too. And I think a pitcher that might be a little bit rusty and come back to pitch in the World Series, and he already tends to walk a lot of guys, I really like that matchup with this team. You know, given that how patient they are at the plate and everything, I think they could really force him into some tight spots. So I kind of don't mind the idea of him coming back. Of course, he'll now he'll go 8 shutout innings since I said that. But
well, and he's a righty too, and so the Indians actually only have 2 left-handed pitchers on their 25-man roster right now: Andrew Miller and Ryan Merritt. So it's kind of interesting, as I feel like the Cubs are a better team when their switch hitters can hit lefty. I don't have any numbers to back that up, but anyway, just to finish up his email, he says their bullpen is very tough. They have Andrew Miller, whose stuff is absolutely filthy. He was the setup man for Chapman in New York. Terry Francona is not afraid to use him in any situation and run him out for several innings at a time. In the ALDS, he was brought out in the 5th inning to get out of a jam. Cody Allen is the closer with good stuff, but hittable. He talks a little bit about the ballpark and talks about how it's similar to Wrigley as far as the location goes, because it's somewhat close to Lake Erie. And so he says you get some lake breezes, which right now are coming in off the lake, which blows in from center/right field. The ballpark can get very loud, similar to Wrigley. We were outside the ballpark last Saturday for game 2, and the noise was incredible outside the ballpark. Can't imagine the noise inside. They're a very hungry fan base and very passionate. So that was his Jeremy from Cleveland's quick marginal analysis of the Indians.
And
he said he's watched them a lot this season.
Isn't that the one ballpark that Marlins man said he would never go back to? Because he was treated I'm pretty sure he was treated so poorly there, like maybe last year, that he said he would never go back. So
worse than Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Well, I guess. I don't know. That doesn't make much sense. But so I guess if you're a Cubs fan, you're going to Cleveland. I don't know. Maybe be careful, or better yet, just don't wear Marlin stuff.
there you go.
But thanks for the email, Jeremy. That was nice to have your analysis of it from somebody who's actually seen them play a lot. I mean, I didn't pay attention to the Indians at all this season, especially since the Cubs didn't play them.
Right.
So,
yeah. So, Kurt, why don't you talk about game 1, Corey Kluber? We already know what, and I mean, it looks like, I would assume, Lester is starting game 1. We already know. We know what he is. We know what he can do. So why don't you talk about Corey Kluber?
Okay, so Kluber's season numbers, he's 18-9 with a 3.14 ERA. He's kind of he's good. He's in the top basically 5 to 10 in just about every good pitching category. So he's a good pitcher. He's pretty much a fastball. He's got 4 pitches, a 4-seamer, a cutter, curveball, and a changeup, which he occasionally throws. But you're going to see a lot of four-seam cutter and then the curveball to kind of get guys off of that. So, yeah, he's got a good pitch repertoire to work with. And, you know, he doesn't throw super hard. I think his fastball velocity is like 92, 93. So he's not going to blow you away. But yeah, he's really good. His lefty-righty splits aren't huge, but you know, I don't expect a ton of anybody to just sort of light it up because of that. But of course, you'll see them flip-flop the lineup. So righties hit 206, and then lefties were 226 this year. So neither are really high numbers, but certainly the lefties are a little better. But, you know, home and away splits aren't drastic either. So, I mean, there's not a lot of in-depth analysis I can give you on the Cubs because, of course, they don't play. And other than, yeah, he's a good pitcher, but I do think he's hittable. So I think, like I said, he's in the top 10 of just about every category, but you can get to him.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's make predictions. Let's make predictions. First, let's start with game 1 predictions, and then we will I guess predict the World Series, but what do you guys think for game 1?
Man, I hadn't really thought about this.
Let's get right back into, you see, you guys thought this thing was done. You feel like we were celebrating. Oh no, there's more to go. We have to.
Well, I'll just say this. I think the Cubs are going to lose 1 in Cleveland and win the series in 5. That's my prediction. I'm not going to get too specific about game 1.
I will. I think Cubs win game 1 5.2.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I think it'll be somewhere in there. I think, you know, you can kind of see it going a couple ways. You could see the Cubs just really continuing what they're doing on offense and jumping on the teams early. I think that would be ideal. I would love to see that. On the other hand, we might see them start off a little bit slow, facing a good pitcher, and obviously going through all the celebration stuff right now that they are. I think that the 2 days off is kind of nice, because I think they could – I'm sure they had their good time last night and used today to recover and travel, and then tomorrow just kind of on Monday kind of, you know, prepare for the series. So, yeah, I think I could go for, like, yeah, 5-2 or 6-3, somewhere in there, and I'm going to predict a Kyle Schwarber home run.
Hmm. what about your series prediction?
Well, I think that the Cubs are going to win the series. I'm going to say, I think in five. I really want it in five. I want it to happen at Wrigley. So I'm going to, because that's what I want, that's what I'm going to predict. So they win it in five, and I think that Lonnie Chisenhall makes a terrible error that causes the Cubs
to... All right.
Lonnie Chisenhall will make a huge mistake that will lead, because he plays right field, I believe. So he'll get back in the well, and I don't know, maybe like an inside the park home run, because Lonnie Chisenhall is just tripping over the ball and getting tangled in the ivy. I just think it's going to be mayhem out there in right field for the Indians.
Oh, man. Well, I think the Cubs win it in 5-2, but I actually think they're going to win the first three. They're going to go up 3-0, take both in Cleveland, and they maybe drop game four, and then they win it in five.
Huh. I could see that.
I just like the pitching, and I think, like, if this offense shows up like they did last night, and then with whoever playing DH, I think they take both games at Cleveland.
That's a good point, because, you know, they show up like they did last night, and they don't have Kershaw's. I mean, they don't have Hendricks 0-for-3.
Right.
And on the box score, they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah. Yep. I think. Oh man, that is exciting to think about the DH. It doesn't matter who it is. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it. So this is our preview episode for the World Series and Game One. We want to hear your thoughts on this series, so give us your series predictions, and you can call in our, in your stories on experiencing the clinching moment on Saturday. Call our voicemail line. It's 309-517-0624. That's 309-517-0624. Or you can call the voicemail line from within our app, and our app is free. It's on iOS and Android. Just search IVMV in the stores. And also, if you found us here in the last month or so, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. We're in all of the podcast apps, or you can listen right from our free app. So this episode, like every other episode this season and all of our post-game shows, they were all brought to you and made possible by support from our listeners through Patreon. That's how we pay the podcasting bills. It's how we do our live events. It's the reason we have a free app. And it's how we paid for extra storage and bandwidth for this postseason. And these episodes exist because of our listeners. So if you like what we do and you want to help us keep things moving and improving, you can support the show for starting at just $1 a month. And there's different pledging levels, and the perks increase as the levels go up. So you can go to patreon.com/IVMV. We do have some new contributors to thank. Martin from, I don't know how to say it, but it's Uppsala, I think, Sweden. So Martin or Martine, maybe, from Sweden.
Or you went to a Swedish Lutheran college and you don't know how to say Uppsala.
You're right. Laura, and I'm not sure where Laura's from. She didn't provide that information. Greg. Now, Greg, he came in at the ultimate Patreon supporter level. I think that's what it's called. Whatever the highest level is. Pretty amazing. Yet he did not provide his address, so I can't send him anything either. But at the ultimate level, one of the perks is that we will take you to a game, a Cubs game. And Greg, if you thought you could get on that in on that now and cash that in, that perk in for the World Series, I'm sorry, buddy, it's not happening. So Greg joins Jason Nunn as our two ultimate IVMV Patreon supporters, and I can't tell you how much that means to us, so thanks, Greg and Jason. We have more. Andrew from Fairfield, Connecticut, Chad from Minneapolis, Jared from Spokane, Washington, Andy from Marion, Iowa, up in your neck of the woods there, Kurt, and Jimmy from Bloomington, Illinois. Oh, and also Adam from Bedfordshire, Great Britain. So a couple of international listeners jumped on here in the last week or so. So thank you very much to all of you and everyone else that supports us on Patreon. It means a lot to us. So again, you can go if you're interested in joining the Patreon support and also having access to that Facebook group that I talked about earlier. You can go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So game one of the World Series is Tuesday night in Cleveland. We'll be right here after the game finishes for the post-game show. You can watch it live by going to ivmb.com/live, and there will be a link to the live broadcast. So breathe deep, Cubs fans. Let this sink in. Enjoy it for a day, and then buckle up, because I think that the potential celebration in the next 10 days could be much better than what we just experienced last night, and I can't wait for it. So thank you for listening, and until Tuesday night, go Cubs!
The Cubs won the World Series!
They're going to the World Series!
And they're
going to
win! It was 5-0!
Hey fellas, what's up? This is Dave, now in McComb, Illinois. I just wanted to call in, and this may be null and void by the time you actually get to play it or listen to it. But I just don't think there's any way that you can keep starting Jason Hayward in the outfield. I'd really, really like to see Contreras stay in the game somehow, whether he's behind the plate or maybe playing in left field and he puts this over to right field. My prediction for game six is Cubs 2, Dodgers 1. I think their defense is going to fail them again. Cubs have a much better team in the field. They were to get some timely hitting. I'm getting chilled just thinking about the fact that we're this close to going to the World Series. And, I got a lot of Cardinal fans, friends who have the bell to pay once the boys get to the big show. And if we're fortunate enough to win this year, I'm going to unleash hell on some of them bastards. Love the show, guys. Keep it up. Go Cubs!
Hey, it's Aaron from Peoria. My 12-year-old son thinks it's going to be 6-0 tonight. Kershaw out in about the sixth inning, and then we roll on past him. I think it's going to be probably 4-2. Hendricks is just going to dominate. They're going to score late, but the Cubs will be on top 4-2 when it all gets done. And then hearing this news about Kyle Schwarber and the possibility of him coming back as a designated here in the World Series is absolutely incredible. So that's at least something fun to think about. Love your podcast. Go Cubs.
So this will be after game six, but I'm calling before game six to get it on the record. Here's my game six prediction from Jason in New York. Starting off, bottom of the first, Cubs will go back-to-back doubles, Fowler Bryant, take a 1-0 lead on Kershaw, but then he settles in, throws up zeros, Dodgers climb back, take a 2-1 lead, but in the top of the seventh, a call goes the Cubs' way. I think maybe replay up pulled like Gonzalez play earlier in the series, and then going into the bottom of the seventh, 2-1, Dodgers, the floodgates open. And series of hits capped off by a Russell home run, putting them up significantly, and a 2-inning party, and then closing out the game in the ninth with Chapman. The cameras just look for somebody else to be that lasting image because the Cubs are going to the series. And if not, I still have faith in game seven. Go Cubs.
I don't know if this is going to make the show because I imagine you're getting tons of messages. But listen, guys, I am just so excited. I'm so pumped. I'm actually speechless, so I'm going to stop talking. right now. I'm just watching the trophy presentation right now. I know we got 4 wins left. I can't wait for Tuesday, but we're going to the World Series. It seems surreal. I am so pumped, and I am just so excited for the Cubs right now. I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for every single Cubs fan out there. Let's go. We are good. Let's do this. All right. Go Cubs.
Hey, what's up, guys? So my name's Colton, and I'm out here in Provo, Utah. I'm calling just right after game 6 at Wrigley. Holy cow. What a game. Awesome. The bats came alive, took it straight to Kershaw. Loved every minute of it. The post-game celebration was awesome. Loved that Lester and Baez were co-MVPs. I mean, no two better deserving guys for that whole thing. Yeah, man, I just wanted to say congrats to you guys. I mean, I've only been a Cubs fan for since I was 12, so I know you guys have gone through a whole lot more than I have. So live it up tonight. Like, just party your butts off. And, yeah, since I'm a Mormon, I'm celebrating with a good old classic milkshake tonight. So anyway, congrats to the Cubs. Love your podcast. Just discovered it a couple weeks ago, and I'm definitely going to listen to it in the future. Anyway, go Cubs, go. Have a good night. Bye.
Hey, IVMV listeners. This is Cole from Macomb, Illinois. Oh, man, guys, what a night. So I'm only 21 years old. You know, I haven't been suffering as long as a lot of, you know, everybody else listening to this podcast has, but Cubs fan all along from all of my family. And I started to get a little worried, you know, when we got shut out back-to-back against the Dodgers, but never gave up hope. And, oh, my God, what a satisfying feeling tonight was to think we had the game won after 2 at-bats. Hendricks has been amazing all year, and I knew he was going to throw a great game, but this was beyond expectations. I mean, he threw a Kershaw game. Oh, man, so ready for the World Series to start on Tuesday. Wish you guys were here. Wish everybody was here. I would love to be with all of you guys and just enjoy this moment. Oh, man. So ready for the World Series. Peace out, guys. 4 more wins. Let's go.
What's up, guys? It's Justin in Iowa, a.k.a. Filthy Slob on Twitter. I just wanted to congratulate all the hordes of Cubs fans out there, and what an awesome game. What an awesome series. And the thing that's really striking to me is how 2 different teams showed up in this L.A. series. The first team, a little scared, a little young, a little timid. The second team, confident, swagger. And it's not the cocky swagger, like running to the end zone and dropping the ball on the 1. It's that confident swagger like the U used to have when they would beat the crap out of Nebraska. What up, Andy? Anyway, go Cubs.
This is Ed from SF, and last night when Rizzo caught the ball, or more importantly, when the grounder was hit to Russell, because you already knew what was going to happen at that point, I just felt so good. Combination of relieved, teary-eyed, excited, and surprisingly calm. It was relief. Yeah, I think I've gone through a couple more seasons than a lot of the folks who are a member of the group, and I have felt so much disappointment, especially when I was young, around this team. And now to see us win and to see the clarity with which we won, how well, 27 up, 27 down, I just feel it's almost like being fulfilled, but not quite, because we have 4 more games to go. So I am so excited to be coming to Chicago this weekend and hopefully watching the Cubs win the World Series. Go Cubs!
Hey guys, it's Dawn from Plainfield. So I think some of you know, I actually could not watch the game yesterday. I was stuck on a bus with a bunch of high school band kids going down to my daughter's championship band competition in Bloomington, Illinois. So we were headed home, and I'm following on my phone, and I saw that it was 2-0 Cubs, and then my phone died, so I didn't have any other way to find out. So when we got back to the school, I was running around trying to gather all my stuff because I just wanted to come home. I just wanted to see what the score was at home, and I wanted to be home with my family. And as my daughter and I are heading into the parking lot, fireworks start going off. And I'm not ashamed to say I just collapsed in a heap on the parking lot pavement and just started bawling my eyes out. It was the greatest thing ever. And my teenage daughter, who's normally mortally embarrassed by everything I do, I think was even a little bit touched and said she was happy for me. So it's a miracle. So anyway, greatest night ever. And then about 5 minutes later, got a FaceTime call from a couple other Ivy Envy listeners. Hi, Carrie. Hi, Lauren. And we all celebrated together. And I'm just so happy for everybody. This is fantastic. So hope everybody else had a great time celebrating last night. And it was nice to wake up this morning and see that it wasn't, in fact, a dream. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Hey, guys. This is Jose calling from Puerto Rico. Last night I started to, my eyes started to tear up around the eighth inning as I realized that the pennant was on its way. And when that double play was turned by Addison and Javi, I just dropped to my knees and raised my arms into the air for like 5 minutes. And I got up and called my grandmother, who's the reason I'm a Cubs fan. So I still have to pinch myself, but this is a great, great season, and just rooting for 4 more wins. Go Cubs!
Hey guys, this is Sam in Raleigh. I'm one of these weird people who cannot watch a huge game with other people around them unless I'm at the stadium. Like if I'm at home with some friends, someone says something stupid, I'm too tense and nervous. I'll snap at them. So I was home by myself on the couch, tear in my eye, watching the Cubs finally do it. Cannot wait for the Cleveland series. I think we're going to do it. Go Cubs.
Hello, good morning. This is Trevor John of Alameda, and I want to say that last night when I saw the Cubs clinch the World Series, I was just jumping like crazy, and I just couldn't believe it. I was so excited. And, of course, afterwards, I just posted out a tweet, and then I was just amazed, and I felt like I was on cloud heaven after seeing the Cubs make it to the World Series. Thank you for taking my call, and have a great day. Go Cubs. World Series bound.
Hi, this is Leonard from Germany. And what I felt when Anthony Rizzo raised his arms tonight, it was just incredible. I stayed up all night to watch the game, and I've only been following the Cubs for 3 years now, so I can only imagine what this means to you, what this felt for you. So I was just so incredibly happy for me, for the Cubs, and especially for all of you guys. And I'm so glad that I got to know all you guys through the IVMV podcast. And Corey, Kurt, and Andy, I'm so happy for you and happy for everybody else listening. Go Cubs. Let's win it all.
Hey, Ivy Envy listeners. So last night, like a lot of you, I celebrated by taking a couple of minutes to myself to shed some happy tears sitting on my couch and letting the moment sink in for a bit. And then I immediately called my parents. They were watching the game 500 miles away from me. We talked for a little bit about the game, and then I talked to my dad for a few minutes about my grandmother, his mother, who passed away about 10 years ago. And she was a diehard Cub fan her entire life. And we just reminisced about watching the games with her, how she always had the radio on in the kitchen, was always listening to the games, no matter how they were doing, win or lose. And it wasn't an out-in-the-streets wild celebration. I live in West Virginia. So there's not a whole lot of Cubs fans to celebrate with. But the first thing I thought of was her, and the best way that I knew to celebrate was to talk about her with my dad. So I hope you guys are enjoying the moment. Get ready for Tuesday. Let's go, Cubs.
Hi, this is Artie from Denver, Colorado. And I just wanted to say that when I heard about the Cubs winning the National League championship, I was actually at a wrestling event, and the notification came across my phone that they had won the game, and I just couldn't concentrate on watching grown men wrestling in their underwear anymore. All I could think was, I got to go home and watch the recording. Because I did record the game, so I watched that last night, and it just is amazing. And the nice thing, too, is I believe Dave in the had posted either personally on his page or in the group page on Facebook that it's been 30-some-odd years for him for a moment like this. And I know for me, it's been 29. And I assume that a good majority of us, it's probably been around that 20-plus year mark. And so it's just amazing. I'm so glad that we're having a Midwest series. I've got a bunch of friends that and teammates that are Cleveland Indian fans as well. So this, I think this should be a pretty interesting series. Like I said, I'm glad it's a Midwest series. And but most importantly, go Cubs!
Hey, what's going on, Cubs fans? It's Phil from Louisville, Kentucky. As far as what I did last night, I couldn't leave my crew that had been with me all playoffs. Ended up leaving a diaper party, which is a good idea. But anyways, a few things. I thought Kershaw, the way we got to him was unbelievable. Gonzalez's quote before the game that they've heard loud before and they won't be shook. Kershaw was shook, and it was beautiful. It was great seeing him look into the abyss and finding nothing. The bat's coming alive and Kyle's dominance. I mean, I don't even know what's going on anymore. But celebration continues today. Going over to a friend's house for champagne. So let's enjoy this time, Cubs Nation, and thanks to Ivy Envy. Appreciate all you guys.
Hey guys, this is Dave from Michigan, giving you a call here from Chicago, and wanted to share in the excitement of the victory last evening. I'm just getting my voice back after screaming Kershaw for 5 straight innings, which now I know how Andy felt when he lost his voice earlier this year. But what a game. What an absolute victory. So proud to be a Cubs fan today, and I look forward to hearing your guys' show. Keep up the great work, guys. Go Cubs.
How did I celebrate the Cubs making the World Series last night? Why, at the Hy-Vee in Moline, of course. With a nice hug from Corey. As Joe Buck would say to, what's his name? Oh, Kershaw. As Joe Buck would say to Kershaw, soft hands. Go Cubs.
Hey, guys. First time listening to the show this season, and I picked a good one. This is Eric in D.C. So I work at a Smithsonian Museum in D.C., and I was stuck at a formal event during Game 6. I do work as the AV technician, so I did get into one of the computer interactives in the galleries and managed to stream the game on that kiosk. So needless to say, a bunch of us were skipping out on some of the events to check out some of the game and giving each other updates as we went. But we caught the last inning uninterrupted, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So keep up the work. Good work, guys. And go Cubs.
Hey, this is Sean from Iowa, and you're doing your live show right now, but I had to turn it off, so I figured, well, I'll make a call. So last night, two of my children fell asleep before the end of the game. The 8-year-old fell asleep, like, in the 8th inning, despite my prodding. I tried telling her when she's old and ancient, and she would tell her grandkids about staying up with her dad to watch the game, but no, it wasn't enough. And she fell asleep. So I watched the end of the game, and when the ball was hit to Russell, it just like very slowly occurred to me that there's one out and a runner on first. They're going to do it. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. And I clutched my pillow to my face, and I don't know, I did that crying thing where there aren't actual tears, but it kind of feels like you're crying. And I just sat and watched it happen in the utter quietness of my house with my children sleeping. Sox was awake, the cat was, but he really does not care for sports because I yell a lot, and he will not high five me, but that's okay. I had my pillow to hug, and I went and gave my sleeping children extra kisses, and it was a very peaceful experience. Not at all how I expected to watch this happening, but hey, it happened. So, and I guess, you know, along those lines, as far as today goes, I guess what it reminds me of, what it feels like, and I don't want to be crude or anything, but you know, what something most of us have gone through, how you experience something you never have in your life, and you wake up the next day and nothing has really changed, but everything feels different. And it's kind of that same feeling. So, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So, yeah, that's my thought. That's all I got. And it's on to Cleveland. Yeah, go Cubs, go. Take it easy.